pit is yet another week of professional wrestling glorious. I don't know what to say, Tom. I wasn't quite prepared as well as I normally am. But it's another week. I think people can hear us this time.
Yay!
Start
That's
a
great.
Little snafu. We did that last time. Jeffrey Sills is already in the chat. He says, message retracted. And then he says, AEW is full of tweeners of straight-up heels. I like the diversity, but the casuals need blonde hair, blue-eyed baby faces to cheer on. He says a whole bunch more. We're going to talk about what Jeffrey Sills says. We're happy he's in the chat. We are huge with Jeff's. We are your favorite Jeff's favorite podcast here at the All Elite Wrap-Up.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I'd give you a big to-do about what we are, but I think you can figure it out from the fucking name, right? Go to alleliterampup.com to get all the links you need, all of our social media links. Remind you to send something to us at aerampup@gmail.com. Send us an email. Damn. Send us a call. Send us a video. We'll play it right here. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. Nobody did that this week. So we're just going to be talking, and we'll talk to our fine friends and our fine Jeffs in the chat. To the Jeffs in the chat over there. But Tom,
yeah.
How are you?
Good, but let's get into Jeff's the comments.
You want to get to Jeff in the chats? All right.
Yeah. Because let's talk wrestling, right? Wrestling's what we're here to talk about. So he says, AEW, as you said, AEW is full of tweeners or straight-up heels. I like the diversity, but the casuals need a blonde hair, blue-eyed baby face to cheer. Now, let's not use the blonde hair, but Willow Nightingale? Is there anyone more pure in all of pro wrestling than Willow Nightingale? She could have a moment. Hey, look, Hogan had a moment in 86. Like, you can have moments.
You know, Hogan had lust in his eyes.
Oh, well, I don't think so. And then, I mean, look.
I mean, who didn't for Miss Elizabeth? Yeah. I mean, that's not a fair thing to say, right? We were told everybody had the hots for Miss Elizabeth. That's what we were told.
Yeah.
Well, who's to blame him?
I mean, I had the hots for Miss Elizabeth, that's for sure. And then you got some other people here that I'll just mention. Eddie Kingston. Come on. MJF.
Come on.
Now, I know what we did before, but like, as he left us, that was a bait. I mean, that was he was doing the fucking kangaroo and everyone was cheering it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's the like, you know, traditional babyface promo, but Hook is in there. Main event, Adam Copeland. I would say he's another. I mean, he almost checks all the boxes, right? Now, if you're going to argue, well, Adam Copeland did a concerto to Nick Wayne, I would argue we're asking different things from our baby faces than we did pre-Stone Cold Steve Austin. Because my hot take on all of this as far as baby faces is just like Jesus and there's, you know, BC and AD, I think with baby faces, there's pre-Stone Cold, after Stone Cold. He broke the mold. Like, for as revolutionary as Hulk Hogan was, and he was, and the, like, 80s push that he did, and then the heel turn that he did with the NWO, which was groundbreaking, and I'm not taking anything away from that. What Stone Cold did, shout out Austin 316, by the way, was all heel things, but in the spirit of, you know, the ends justify the means, and we all said, yeah, no, that's what I would do too. And so now you're asking different
and it
things.
Put you in his shoes, right? Yeah. With Hogan, he was a superhero, right? We weren't like we loved Hulk Hogan, but we weren't Hulk Hogan, right?
Right.
But Steve Austin, you saw yourself, right? The dude wore jorts, right? Mm-hmm. And like drank beer and had a little bit of a gut, and he hated his boss, flipped him off, and you know what I mean? It was, and that's old time true. Like the working man was the working man's hero was a pro wrestling folklore time, you know, forever, but he did it to the point on such a grand stage. It's unmatched. Yeah. I get what you're saying. Like the way he impacted pro wrestling, I think even media, was just such a different scale.
Because like you said, there are people who put us in their shoes and we felt like we were in their shoes with like Dusty Rhodes, for example, obviously Hard Times promo. I mean, that is about as relatable to middle America as you get, right? But he wasn't doing heel things to the four horsemen. He was only retaliating or defending himself. Stone Cold was like, hey, guess what? My boss has this Corvette. Fuck that Corvette. I'm filling it up with cement. Why? I don't know, because fuck them. And you're like, yeah, no, I think I'd do it too. So I think, yeah, baby faces are asked a certain thing after Stone Cold that is honestly more evolved and harder to do than before Stone Cold. And then also on the women's
you
side.
You have to have an edge. You have to have some kind of
exactly.
Edge.
Yeah, you cannot. Now, I would argue there are, you know, exceptions. I would say
Cody Rhodes.
NXT. Well, no, I was going to say NXT. Well, fuck Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is a cornball.
Well, that's
I
don't think he's taken hold of every. That's why he's not like the mega star, is because like there are some people who view him as that like superhero baby face of all things, but like the rest of us are like, I don't like. He's, I can't connect with that. Silver Spoon Dick,
like
who like
80s
thinks
Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? Where like in the '80s, you're like, I like Ric Flair if you're an adult, but if you're a kid, you like Hulk Hogan. But I was going to say NXT Sami Zayn. That was one guy where it was like, just straight up, I'm a good dude and Kevin Owens turned his back on me and what the fuck, right? Like that would be one exception that comes straight off the top of my mind. What else does he say?
Yeah, he did nothing wrong, right? Like he didn't do heel tactics. No. He didn't screw over.
Yeah. Brian Danielson also in the lead up to WrestleMania 30 was just like, why do you think I'm a dickhead or a B+ player?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fuck
why
you,
won't
I'm
you
not.
Give me a chance, right? Like all I'm asking for is the shot. Let me get it. Yeah, why are you holding me down? Which that also, though, did manage to connect in a way with the human condition of like everybody seems to have that at work. It's like, man, why are you in my way, man? Like,
What else does he say here? He goes,
I've got one that he says. Can I point this one out? Jeffrey Sill says, by the way, Mercedes cannot act. She was cringe AF both times on the show. They better put that Jennifer Pepperman to work on her promos because this is the same thing she said last week with a video package. And I want to take a pause, everybody, and give this man a round of applause for this comment because, Jesus, this is everything that needs to be said about it. I'm hearing wind that Tony's paying this woman rock-level money and thinks, like, this is going to bring viewers, and I don't think that's showing yet, and I mean, maybe a little boost, but, guys, she can't act. I don't know what this is. Why is she getting roles in the Star Wars and stuff? This woman cannot act. At least with Star Wars, you can do, you know what I mean, like, all kinds of post-editing and stuff, but, like,
well, I've never seen
takes.
It, so...
Yeah, I don't like that stuff anyway, but...
Well, what I'm saying is if you ask the Star Wars people, maybe they're saying the same thing that wrestling
she sucks,
people...
Yeah.
Well, us. Yeah, we're saying... Now, here's the thing that I would defend her on, and that seems weird to say, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Nice. The thing I would defend her on is, you know, with, for example, Ricochet, right? He is known for the moves. So you don't put him in a 10-minute promo every week, right? Like you're not going to his strengths.
Yes.
And you know, not to go back to another 90s reference here, but Paul Heyman would always say, accent the positives, hide the negatives. I think what Sasha Banks was known for was the match at NXT TakeOver, right? Like she is known for the matches. Yep. And entrances, but not promos.
I would give her then a mouthpiece, a manager, and I would let her be a little brooding. She's got a little bit of a mean, I'm going to fuck you up face, right? Like, and if she was cunning and conniving and working plans on the back, and all you had to do was kind of similar. Remember when it was like early Roman Reigns conniving with Paul Heyman? Paul Heyman did the promo, and we got Roman Reigns talking in the back where we can cut and edit and plan, right? And make him look like he's conniving and masterminding the whole thing from behind. So we'll save some Sasha Banks talks as we go through our AEW Dynamite and AEW Rampage recap. But does this bring up to a larger point that I'm a little worried about Tony Khan's judgment? I don't own an AEW or like a wrestling organization, and I don't have billions of dollars, but even looking at a business standpoint, I guess she is on things like in the Marvel universe. And so there is probably dollar money attached to it, but I can't for the life of me figure that it's going to bring ratings that then brings advertisers that then brings an increase in revenue in. But I don't know, maybe he's planning on selling a bunch of merch perhaps. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think where we're coming from, you know, you, me, and obviously Jeffrey Sills, who had the comment, is a, almost as if like, well, this is what to expect, right? This is how it's going to be, and this is how it's going to be moving forward. We don't know, right? She has already hinted at who I told you was the best baby face in pro wrestling, Willow Nightingale, not liking her, right? And Willow Nightingale now is on eggshells going like, is she going to like turn on me? Because I'll do it first, right? Because I don't want to get got, right? So potentially we could get, because what I I could see happening here is the, hey, everyone, aren't we on the same page? And everyone goes, yeah. And then she goes, bitch, I just beat up your best friend. Look at Willow Nightingale. She, you know, and then we go, oh, shit, right? So I'm being positive and patient with the baby face run. I would just say, let's shorten that, right? Let's do 4 minutes instead of 10 is what I'm getting.
And I agree with you. And I do think there is something to say that, like, if I'm Tony Khan, I do got to think, okay, we're at a stage now where, you know, some talent comes into AEW, some talent goes back to WWE, some comes from, you know, we're going to be going back and forth. You do have to kind of somewhat keep up with the Joneses. If you can get somebody that was a main event player there, they're going to be a main event player anywhere they go. So that does help legitimize, I guess, to some extent, your company if more of those people come here and take your deals, right? More are going to say, well, that's a valid place to go and do that, right? So I guess to some extent that helps. And as Jeffrey Sills here says, she is going to sell merch, face or heel. So I'm more than certain, even at a high price, probably pays for itself at least and probably makes him some money. So at worst, it's not the worst thing, I guess, right? I don't
know. Yeah, and before we get into our recap, because we're already on the subject of Mercedes Moné and she kicked off the show, I will say one thing I want to push back on, and it's not from you specifically, it's more from just the general IWC. For example, Stokely Hathaway said that Stokely Hathaway and that Will Washington, who was a former podcaster, came up with the idea of doing Stokely Hathaway, Chris Statlander, and Willow Nightingale together. So I think, you know, we had that one moment where Max Caster did a rap that he shouldn't have about the Duke lacrosse team on, I think it was a Rampage or one of those things. And Tony Khan said, hey, well, then I'm taking over. And I think we took him too literal, right? I think now, I do think he says approval, right? This is good.
Oh, sure,
that's
right.
Not,
yeah.
This is good. Mm-hmm. But I don't
think correct.
Yeah, that's like, hey, you know what? So my next idea is we're doing this. So I think there's some pushback on, like, it's not all
him. Oh, I definitely don't think that. Yeah, correct. It's not all him, because we have seen plenty of times where we're like, well, this is very indicative that nobody's doing an overall arc of what this show looks like, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the storylines themselves might have been masterfully told week to week, but the placement of, like, this storyline next to this one, and, like, oh, they hit somebody with a chair here. Oh, they turned on and hit somebody with a chair here. Oh, they, like, oh, you didn't look for that, right? Yeah. Right. So I agree with you. I do think there's more leeway. I think that's a bit of what's happening here, though, with the Mercedes thing. I think he's like, do what you want. Here's 10 minutes. And it's like, if you're going to let her do what she wants and she wants to do that, I would give her 5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know what I mean? It's like, ask her to do something else for the other 5.
Now I'm looking at the roster here, so I'm cheating a little bit. Lastly, another white feet, white face, whatever, baby face, the straight good guy baby face, I would say.
Right.
Keith Lee. Keith Lee's pretty fucking cool.
Keith Lee. Yep. He didn't do anything heelish, right? That's true. Mm-hmm.
So I would say him. All right. So let's get into it. So that's what we're talking about. And it kicked off with the subject matter at hand right now, Mercedes Moné. And she walked out. And as mentioned from Jeffrey Sills and yourself, she didn't really say anything different. I will say it was a little odd.
Happy to be here.
Well, but this time it was happy to be here. And also, check out how cool I am. I thought that was a weird thing. It's I put this together about me. I would have, for me personally, I would have pivoted there and said, the great fans of AEW sent me this video that I want to share with some of you who haven't seen it. Because now you just look like a fucking prick who's sitting in a, you know, basement on a Mac. Editing your own fucking shit.
Or Tony Schiavone, like, hey, once again, you know, our new assignee, Mercedes Moné. And then you have the package, then the music hits, and she comes out. And then she does her promo.
Something. Right. Something. But but let's get to the fun part. So she says all her
Are
nonsense.
You doing the dance yet?
Hey, look, I will say this. Yeah. But Tim, I will give her this. Uh-huh. You put her in the video game, and guess what you expect when she does her entrance? Right? She's like, you got to have something.
That's going to be the taunt, right?
I mean, every
it's a thing. I will agree. It's a thing. It's
every disgruntled, you know, Randy Orton heel always grabs their head as if voices just always like this helps. So, you know, let's be a little, you know.
Jeffrey Sills says, my God, that dance sucks. And yeah. I don't know if Jeffrey Sills can dance, but I know he knows bad dancing when he sees it.
But again, you want, you know, look, you want the neck beards to be able to do the shit too, right? There's a reason why Prince Nana's thing catches on. It's because this is pretty funny too.
You see, I specifically make sure no neck has any beard on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And stuff's right. Like none. I like make sure of that. Like, nope.
Hey, so, all right. The lights go out.
Beardless
lights
neck.
Come on. And we get Julie Hart standing in the entrance ramp.
Yeah.
But we don't see it because of a bad shot. We get the other shot where Sky Blue is coming up behind Mercedes Moné, which should have been the second shot. I'm just going to bypass it because it's happening so frequently. It's like being mad at a college basketball team because they can't score 100 points. It's like at a certain point, you just know that they fucking suck at offense.
Yeah,
by the way, Tim,
yeah.
Side quest. I watched a fucking basketball game between two 10 seeds to get into the tournament.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst. I hate that they do that. That playing game is bad all the time.
No.
I mean, like, the outcome can be interesting, but, like, the basketball is bad.
No. The halftime score. I almost punched my TV. I was so mad.
Was it 24-17?
27-14.
College basketball is in a terrible state. College basketball is in a terrible state. They have not kept up with the, fun basketball rules in the NBA. Like, it's a slow game. The officiating is, you don't know what's happening. Literally, 1 second, they call something one way, and the next, they call it the same way, where it's benefited my team both ways, and I'm like, this is fucking weird, right? I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how they play it. I would be kicked off so many fucking games. If I was a player, I wouldn't be allowed to play, because, like, it's bad to watch. It's terrible. If I didn't have a team that I liked, who unfortunately didn't make shit happen this year, I would never watch it. It's garbage. It's bad. Once my team is out of it, I don't even fill out a bracket. I don't want, like, it's bad. Product bad.
You want a hot take? First week of the NHL playoffs are more exciting than March Madness.
I'm sure they are. Again, it's really only exciting if you have a team in it right now. 68 fucking teams have a team in it, so they capture a lot of fucking people in that regard, but it's bad product to watch, man. It's bad.
Okay, so Julia Hart and Sky
AEW Blue. Was not bad.
I won't talk about
might have been, yeah.
No. Come on, let's get on track here. We're getting a little bit too much mumble jumble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
So, okay. Julia Hart and Sky Blue attack Mercedes Moné. And then Chris Statlander fucking sprints like she's Tyreek Hill to the ring. Willow Nightingale, trying to keep up, gets in their second. They get Julia Hart and Sky Blue out of the ring. But then, as mentioned, Willow Nightingale has this chair and she's like, I might hit this bitch in the back. Now, read that as, I think she may do this to me first, so I'm going to not get got. How do you see that moment?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the character of Willow, I got to think, uh-oh. Like, even if things were quote-unquote cool, this in the kayfabe universe, I did take this woman's title. She did get injured, right? Like, she's not just going to be cool with that, so she's coming for me, right? Like you said. So I might as well make it happen now, right? Like, why watch my back all the time and let's just do this? And, you know, sometimes we let the intrusive thoughts in for a second, right? You know what I mean? Sometimes we're like, you know, I could just right now end everything for this person right now. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, hey, what? I'm sorry. What were we saying? Yeah, no, I will follow up. Yes, I will. I will follow up next meeting. Absolutely. So I agree with that. I know we are all happy. Yay, we love Willow. But because I don't like Mercedes. No, you're gonna like this because I don't like Mercedes. I wouldn't mind Willow being the aggressor here and maybe being the quote unquote bad person in this storyline, right? Like, I know she's ultimately gonna lose to a Mercedes Moné overall, but like, maybe let's getting some more added depths to the Willow character. As fun as Willow is, we can go back to Willow being fun and everybody dancing when we need her to be a face again, right? Like, having her be the heel in this and ultimately losing, that'll still elevate her up on the card, I think, right? And now she can be a heel. For a little bit,
I will say, as far as, you know, like you said, everyone loves Willow. Willow comes out with a smile on her face. She does mention that she's been in the most street fights in the AEW women's mm-hmm. locker room. So shout out to the hardcore legend, Willow Nightingale.
As much, you know, Jeffrey Sill suggested maybe Chris turns on Willow and Chris and Stokely join Mercedes in her CEO faction. But I think as much as I was saying, let's take Stokely and have him trying to be like, Chris Statlander, you're the Uber athlete. I'm going to take you to heights. Like, I'm going to book you and the things. He could do that just as easy with Willow. Right. But I don't think Willow necessarily needs him as much as a Chris Statlander would need him. Right. I think Willow can, she's got some chops on the mic and, mm-hmm. and is a believable character on her own. So, but yeah, Willow maybe being like, do you know who I am? First of all, I've been in these street fights and I'm sorry, do you want to get in a street fight with me? Do you think that's going to be good for you?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what wasn't good for me right after this segment. It was the Continental title match. You had challenger Kazusa Okada. Didn't probably say that right, but I think I nailed it.
Nailed it.
Versus the Mad King, the King of the Bums. Mm. The every man's every man. Your wrestler's favorite wrestler, Eddie Kingston. And, you know, it's a phrase I've heard dozens of times from people older than me, and it makes sense, and I would just keep saying it. And I think it applies in this match. But Okada wore Kingston around like a hat for about 10 minutes. I mean, he just beat the shit out of him. I know that Eddie Kingston had his moments, but it wasn't a lot of them. And Okada is your new Continental champion. And Tim, a little bit of breaking news going into our podcast I was going to share with you. Tony Khan clarified about the Continental Championship, how it will be defended and how it will go forward. And it's stupid.
Yep.
So for those of you who haven't heard, he said the person that is the Continental Champion going into the next tournament will be defending his title. And then whoever wins that tournament will then be either retaining their championship or the new champion.
Yeah.
Which a wise man, Tim, told me, well, then why would you do the fucking tournament? Just wait till it's over and then challenge the winner. That wise man was you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the dumbest thing ever. You know, it did stick out to me. I noticed they said it's Continental rules, right? So nobody can be at ringside and things like that. So that is a slight difference maker. But I just don't understand. The man had another title. He has an ROH title, right? Like he has, and like you could have done one of those. I know those aren't AEW branded, I guess, but like I don't. Right? What are the other titles he has? It's ROH and a New Japan one, right? Is that what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the ROH Heavyweight Champion, and then he's the New Japan Strong Champion. Weird. There's just too many titles.
It's a one year winner, especially when it's a big tournament. What is the like? Why would you enter in the tournament? Why would you waste your time doing that? I don't understand that. That's really weird.
There's just too many titles at the mid-card level.
Too many.
So you have your heavyweight. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the main event, which was the TNT championship. Okada's not a forgettable guy. So then you've got the Continental champion. And then now I guess you've got the international, who's Roderick Strong. So he would be third in that pecking order.
Well, now Copeland, like, is Copeland over Strong? Is the TNT title more than the international? I don't think it's been defended as such lately, but do they?
I would say TNT, Continental, International.
International, yep. And then
right,
that's
you?
It, right? For the men's singles, right? Yeah, that's too many, man. At least at that level, like, let's bring one of them down to be an under, right? Like, I don't know what that
is. Yeah, like your rookie class, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you would. New Japan does this where it's a junior division, and I'm not saying adopt that, but something to that and move one of those titles there, okay. But yeah, three mid-card,
To me, the Orange Cassidy spot holding a title, if we're going to have the Continental, I think that you would position that third more than you would have him be at kind of that level and drop that international down, even though it was the one that I think before the Continental existed, right? To me, that sounds more.
Oh, yeah, but I would just say you're doing, since Eddie like Kingston. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lineage of Eddie Kingston and Okada is more I'm not trying to say anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, had the Continental existed, I think it's still like that's where you would have put a guy like Orange Cassidy instead of at the International title. Because when it first came out, it seemed like it was positioning to be that early card title, right? The undercard title, if you will. But anyway, it had to come. It's weird. Again, why do we call this a triple crown if we're going to split it up? And I don't understand a lot of the whole thing.
Well, I don't necessarily hate that because you could say, hey, I am the triple crown champion. I have three championships.
You have three belts. Yeah.
Well, but like I have three championships and three promotions. So I am the triple crown. I am an ROH. Like, so that makes sense. I'm okay with like defending it. It's like what we were talking about though. Then the tournament is meaningless. Just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait. Everyone.
Yeah. It's
would
one
wait.
Thing. If the inaugural one was off a tournament, then I get it. But if you're going to do the tournament every year, I need a buy, right, or something. But even then, like, why go through the tournament to get a number one contendership? It's so dumb.
I still think, and I know stealing from WWE is kind of frowned upon, like, come up with your own ideas, right? But go back to the early 90s when King of the Ring, which would be the Continental Tournament, got a heavyweight championship shot. Just do that. Just Eddie Kingston would have got a shot at MJF at the time, right?
Yep.
And there you go. You can go from whatever you know. Yep. That makes more sense than the fucking anyhow. All
right. Or you could have made the TNT title, right? So you could have like just left your three titles and made one of them, right? Like whatever. If you didn't want him to be a world heavyweight title level, right?
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, I just a world title because that's the biggest one, right? But like, yeah if you want,
that's
to
what
TNT,
I mean. Like, yeah, you could have made it any level, even right? But yeah. Adding this new one at it. Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know.
Just dumb. I just don't like it. All right. Post-match.
Yeah, does the International include the Continental, though? And are we talking about our continent when we say Continental? Or like just our continent? Because there's many continents, right? So I'm going to assume that means our continent. So then the International is outside of our continents, but yet it's everybody that's still wrestling inside of our. I'm confused.
So back Pac comes down and he gives a stare down to Okada. Which looks like that may be our match at Dynasty. Don't hate it.
I don't hate it from, right, we're going to be sitting in the crowd because we're ballers and we'll be there. And we will be watching an awesome match. And I like Pac. And Okada is good, as we've seen.
Yeah.
But again, it's all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, Pac is back. I forgot. And he's coming out. And he stares and he doesn't say anything. It's like. Okay, I guess we just got a new champ, but now this guy's here. Like, there was no mission statement, right? So it just kind of left me like, oh, all right, that happened. But I know at least, right, the very least, I'm going to get a great match at the pay-per-view, so meh.
Well, I mean, I think Pac makes sense because he has a beef with them because if you remember the six-man tag with Eddie, Penta, and Pac versus the Elite. So, you know, there's a little of that. I would just say I want more. Because he's a bastard, right? He even leans into it. I'd just make him a little bit grumpier. Just a little grumpier.
Yeah.
And if he needs tips, just call me. I got you. I can take care of that for you. All right. After that, Swerve Strickland does a backstage promo. And he goes, man, we're in Toronto. Everyone's fighting. I think I want to fight. Open challenge later tonight. And that's what we get. And then we continue with the promos. Willow Nightingale. And Chris Statlander said they're ready for their street fight with Julia Hart and Sky Blue. And then Mercedes Moné interrupts. And to her credit, Chris Statlander positions Willow behind her to like, I got your back. And she stands there and she's like, hey, thanks for helping out when I wasn't there. And Mercedes is like, that's what a CEO does. No, it isn't. My CEO has never came down to a customer call to fucking help me when a customer is being an asshole. Anyhow,
almost never had my back.
Yeah, they've never had my back. Never, they've always had the money's back. Anyhow. And so Statlander's like, all right, well, it's nice to meet you. And she walks off. And then Willow's like, hey, I kind of want to apologize. And Mercedes like, you ain't got nothing to say to me.
Yeah, and like, it's you've like, done enough.
Yeah, you've done it. And it's like, bitch, do you know who you're fucking with? You're messing with the hardcore legend, Willow Nightingale. You fucked up. I mean, we're going to talk about this main event.
God of this shit.
If you had Nick Gage and Willow as a tag team.
I want her coming out, with the bandera, pizza cutter. I want her fucking throwing up the, you know what I mean?
Hold on. Okay,
MDK all motherfucking day, man.
But let's have fun with this. Okay, so she adopts.
Willow!
Let's just go into a fun fantasy land. They have a partnership. Let's not make it love. It's just a partnership of we are gods of this shit, right? Let's just say that. She has the pizza cutter, but it's like rainbow. You know what I mean? And like, and like the MDK has like, it says MDK, but it's in the form of a unicorn. You know what I mean?
It's like cloud bubble letters.
That would be fun. That
Big smile on her face.
Yeah.
She's like, like glass tubing somebody.
All right. Yes. So then we get a boring match, in my opinion. It's Chris Jericho versus Hook. And I will say this. They had good callbacks to Chris Jericho's time in ECW and his matches against Taz and those spots being mimicked in this match against Hook. Good job. So Hook wins. And in my opinion, that should be it. Right?
That should be it.
But Tim, it's not.
Yeah. It's
because
not
he says later, he goes, yeah, I lost to him. But I got next week a proposition for Hook. No, here's the proposition. No. You're gone. Bye bye.
We don't need your indecent proposal.
Yeah, we're done. But it was a good showing. It is the biggest victory for Hook because if you're going to build up Hook as a top mid card to main event guy, him having a win over the first ever AEW champion, Chris Jericho, on paper looks good. He can say that in a promo. You know what I mean? So it serves a purpose, I hope, but I just didn't care to see any more of it.
Listen, Chris Jericho, if this proposal or proposition, as he called it, involves a rally at the Capitol, I'm out.
Yeah, in that many hours.
Yeah.
All right, so Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, baby.
We do story time with Adam Cole, and man, we accelerated this super quick. He is furious with Wardlow.
He is furious with Wardlow. We did accelerate it super quick. We could have dialed that back a little bit, I think, but I do like this is better. Adam Cole, since he's injured, sitting, let's get him look again. Now he's looking suave and he's looking cool and he's not, you know, and he doesn't look pale out of the bright lights. Yeah, this works way better, but we are already on now. If moving forward we do this, we replace a Wardlow with somebody else and Adam Cole has a short temper and he's like, no, you suck, the first mistake, you're out, then okay. Then I'll be all right with it being rushed, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that could be the cool attribute if, let's say, Wardlow gets replaced, and I'm making names up here. Wardlow gets replaced with Brian Cage, and Brian Cage loses to Adam Copeland. You're fucking out, right? And then let's say Roderick Strong loses his championship.
Johnny Hungry or whatever. Roderick Strong loses his title, right?
He loses his title. Okay. Hey, I get it. But then in the rematch, he loses again. Roderick Strong, you're out. And then the Kingdom, they lose their tag titles. They lose the rematch. Fucking you're out too. Like, you get one chance and then you're done. That would be okay, right?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he starts to run out of friends, right? And people are like, fuck that. And people start getting, you know, hip to him. I could get behind that.
Now, the thing that you would have to do is still show that the group is worth joining. So you would have to have people, and let's just make up some names here.
Getting benefit from it.
Right. Wardlow gets kicked out, and I'll just use Brian Cage as the example. Brian Cage gets in, so now that means Brian Cage gets featured on Collision, Rampage, and Dynamite for 2 weeks. And he's like, now I'm on TV every week. Everyone can know how great I am. Right. That's why you would join. Stuff
purses,
like that.
I'm getting, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Adam Cole is taking care of my travel. Like, this is so awesome.
Staying at the fucking group. Sheridan. Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, he loses and then you're out and you're like, fuck, you know, because
you can even show that, like, somebody's throwing him out of the hotel and tossing his bags, right? And he's like, get out. Yeah.
You know, you bring up a great idea as far as having that as a character trait
theme.
But one thing that would be cool is the guy gets kicked out, right? but he wants back in. So it's because of the perks. It's because of all the things. Mm-hmm. When you get kicked out, you don't go like,
so they can come in and out even. Back in, back out, back in, back out. Yeah, so we don't have to keep running through everybody. Roderick Strong can come in three or four times, right?
Yeah, because you can be like, no, 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 man. Hey, I need, look, my family kind of already is banking on me being in this group, so I need to get back in somehow. And then that's when Adam Cole can start using people and go, well, then take out MJF. You do that, you're back in. Oh, okay. You know, and then we get, you know, okay, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would, look at us. We're good.
Mm-hmm. Iris.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Come on. Anyhow, I don't want to fucking do editing on fucking digital.
We'll
videos,
consult. You know? We don't have, you know, like at least like, we'll hire us to consult. We'll say that.
Just
start there.
Just tell me what you fucking need, Tony, and I can write it like now. I can do it while we're doing the fucking podcast. Anyhow.
He might need.
I got it. I can find it right. Really quick.
I grew up in Independence, Missouri, man. I know where that's at.
I live in Westport. If you don't know, by the way, anyone
that's
who
true.
Doesn't
you might
know,
just be able to open your window and be like, hey! Yeah.
Go! And everyone's like, yeah, you know. Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know about the city of Westport, if you're listening on the podcast or joining in the YouTube chat and you're not familiar with it, look up the heavyweight champion of the world in boxing, Tommy Morrison. He was also in Rocky V. He was Tommy Gunn in Rocky V. Read about his life and know that all of the shortcomings happened because he was in Westport. So that's what I would give as your homework.
Yeah. So it's a fun area of town.
It's the best area of town. It's super fun. It's love it. All right. So Adam Cole is furious. He says, Wardlow, don't screw up. And we'll see what happens. As Mitch and Chris Jericho has that proposition. Okay, cool. And then we get to an in-ring promo with Will Ospreay. Tim, before I share my thoughts on this, I would like your thoughts on what Will Ospreay had to say on this promo. Or in this promo, I should say.
What he had to say, I thought it was a unique thing where he was like, when he got to the Bryan Danielson part, right? And he's like, you say I can't walk in your shoes. Want me to prove it? I'm going to beat the guy you just beat or just wrestled or whatever, right? And like, and that kind of thing, because I also got beef with that dude too, right? That was fine. Man, I'll say this, the dude, yeah, Shibata, right? The dude is over, man. People are into this guy, and I think, man, they should take that by the reins and do with it while they got it, right, before this runs out, because everybody's ready to get behind this guy as the dude, right? Like, man, bruv.
Two things that I would say about that. One, I agree. I agree that people love him. He's doing this Ospreay, Ospreay, Ospreay thing or whatever the crowd chants, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone's doing it. He is super over. Here's where you could look like a bad company, in my opinion, is let's say Swerve is going to win at Dynasty, right? We kind of think that that's maybe where we're going to go, you know, Dynasty. That feels right, you know? Man, that would look super fucking bad if your first black champion has the shortest reign in company history.
Yeah.
So do you really want to say like, hey, Swerve, bye?
I know. It's bad timing. No, it's bad timing because Swerve's on the hot streak right now, too. I know. Yeah. It would be one of the worst parts of trying to book like this, where we've talked about, like, it's probably not easy, right? Because how do you keep somebody hot while you can't have two as the big star right now, right? But how do you, oh, you have, look at Tom. Tom's like, this ain't hard. I got ideas.
This isn't hard. Yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Hold on. But before we do, I do want to talk about this promo because I have beef with one thing that he said here. I did like what you said about him having like, hey, I'll beat Shibata. You thought you beating Shibata was cool. I'll fucking do it too, right? Awesome. I like this. Whatever you can do, I can top it. A big fan of
poor
that.
Shibata? Goes, like, what did I do?
Well, but that goes back to like the Sabu and Taz. Yeah, I know. You know what I mean? Competing.
No, of course.
So I love that, right? The beef that I have with it, and this may be a hot take, and I'm not trying to be a hot take, but just to tell you the truth, when he was like, I was so over in Japan, you know, the place you wanted to be over in, I would just go like, you brain dead idiot. He main evented a WrestleMania. He has one of the most iconic moments in, look at that, in wrestling history, ending WrestleMania 30. You think he, like, oh, but I wanted to be in the Tokyo Hall. Fuck out of here. Like,
yeah, no, that was the, yeah.
We all know, and I'm, this is where I'm not trying to be insensitive to, like, Japanese pro wrestling, but we all know, even me, begrudgingly, know that WrestleMania is the fucking thing. It's still the number spot, one thing.
Right.
And he's done it multiple times. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And then just shut the fuck up on that. Now.
Yeah, if you start walking around the streets of any town, USA, you're going to run into, you know what I mean, people who know him more often than not, than, you know what I mean, than know you.
Well, and also, bruv, walk around any town, Japan, and they're going to talk about WrestleMania coming up. So let's not act like they're not watching that over there either.
But I will say he was over as we got a new chatter here. He says, David Mage, I think. He says, bruv. And I mean, that is fun, right? Bruv.
Yes. I love it. And he's fun. And I will give him this. I was a hater, admittedly. I was a hater of Will Ospreay coming into AEW because my own lack of knowledge and my own bias, going to be honest with you again here, I thought he was just a flips and shit, right? I thought he was accented.
I think he's bulked up, though, since we first started seeing him and thinking that. I think he's like bulked up a little bit.
But I don't even need you to be big. I just...
No, but yeah.
My thought of him coming into AEW was, oh, cool. So this is just going to be the Young Bucks with an accent. Fucking neat.
Right.
Like, I don't need another. I'm just a
I agree with you. And that's what I meant. Like, by bulking up, I think he's changed some of, like, his wrestling style and things like that. And he can still do some of that, I'm sure, right? He can still have the triple spinning over your ball sack, plancha dive match with Ricochet and stuff like that. But he's also believable in a more hard hitting, I think. Like what we wrestling what match, right?
But what I'm going to give him credit on is these. Oh, God, I did it again. These promos I've actually enjoyed quite a bit. That's been the promo shocking thing for me. Is good. I was like, I fucking love this. Yeah, he's kind of
that's
cool.
What Jeffrey Sills says. He's bulked up, but he's been working on his promo work since the Omega match at the Tokyo Dome. And yeah, that's what I mean. He's captivating. He has charisma. He looks like I could bring him in to bars or around. You know, like my wife and some of her friends, and they would be like, I'm sorry, who is this guy? You know what I mean? Like, he's a charismatic, well-to-do fella. Yeah, I think I think there's money in this, bruv.
Yeah. All right, so now here's the idea. Spoiler alert, in the main event, Christian Cage loses his TNT championship to Adam Copeland. Well, let's all be honest with ourselves. The best heel in AEW... is Christian Cage. Now, there could be cooler ones. There could be more hard-hitting ones. Samoa Joe is a very hard-hitting heel, right?
Yeah.
You get the patriarchy to go after Will Ospreay? Dude, what the... Look, Will Ospreay versus Christian Cage is still a big name event. And I know that people are like, but I want in London or the Wembley Stadium for him to win the title. Fucking stop. He's not here for a year, right? We got time. So I would, to give Swerve his run, right? Hey, here's Swerve's run, because you don't want to look racist, and you don't want to be racist by him being the shortest reigning champion. I would say after Danielson for Will Ospreay, he comes around, and I don't know his background. If he doesn't have a father, I mean, Jesus Christ. And again, it's wrestling. Let's just say his father is
dead. We don't know. Yeah,
but like, it's, you know, Luchasaurus isn't a real fucking dinosaur. We're all making shit up here. That's one. I talked about this before, and I'll just say it one more time. Well, I'll just say it one more time. If you tell me that my brother died when I was 15, and then I like find out that you never had a brother, I don't fucking care. Your character did. Your character had a brother and died. Okay, like, we don't have to fact check everything.
The one thing I'll say is, if you do that, you have to be mindful moving forward. Like, so if Will Ospreay's dad is really alive, and you do this thing where on character Will Ospreay's father isn't alive, and so Chris Jericho, we can't later be like, have a storyline built around Will Ospreay's dad died 2 years later, right? And now we're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to stick to it, which is hard in wrestling, I know. Right. But what I'm getting at is you can make things up and it's not, oh, that's not fucking right. Shut the fuck up.
Well, so anyway. What only came to mind when you were like the number one heel and like who's like, you know, there might be cooler, but we all know like the biggest heel is Christian Cage. I mean, Don Callis came to mind, but that's, I mean, we've done that, right, with the Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
We, so well, that's, we kinda, that's not even, yeah.
Because you could even do it this way. Here's a fun way that I just thought of as you were saying that is Will Ospreay beats Brian Will Ospreay beats Brian Danielson at Dynasty, right? Mm-hmm. Christian Cage, let's just say, doesn't have a match at Dynasty because he just went through this war. He needs to take some time. He's 50 years old, right? Cool. Well, then Don Callis, the next Wednesday on Dynamite, starts looking at Ospreay a little weird and like, you think you're bigger than this group? Like, you think you're fucking, you ain't shit. And then kind of goes, hey, Christian Cage, your patriarch, your family, you guys bored? Why don't you look at this guy? And then you have Don Callis kick him out and then leave him out in the wilderness. And here comes the vultures of Luchasaurus, Nick Wayne, and
he sells him. He's like, I'm selling you to another family. You're not going to the Don Callis family. You're going to another family. And I'll be like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I'm making a trade. They're trading me a couple $100,000 or whatever, right? And then he's like, come here, son. And Christian Cage is standing on the stage. Yeah. Like, come here, son. And he's like, I'm not your son. And he's like, listen, we're going to talk about respect. Come here.
Yeah, you'll learn in time.
Yeah, then you get Luchasaurus taking him out, right? Like, and dragging him up.
Nick Wayne can do all the flips and shit with him, right? Those two can fucking do all the trampoline things you want.
Yep.
And you know,
member of the family against his will.
Yeah. And you know, Christian Cage can give a good match. You know what I'm saying? So it's not as if like, oh fuck, now we're going to get something bad. No, you fucking won't. And so I think because I do agree begrudgingly, Will Ospreay should be the next champ after the next champ. But man, you, in my eyes, and maybe I just see this differently, if you're wanting to expand to more than the white neck bearded internet wrestling guy, and you want to go to other communities, you can't be like, well, we had a black champion, but it was for like 90 days. And then we just went to this other guy.
So, and here's where I've mentioned before, I know we can get fancy and be like, oh, if we book it this way and we book it this way, and we're like, oh, so Triple Threat ends with Joe still winning and now we're going to move on. And it's going to be Swerve next month. Well, now next month rolled around and you got somebody who's taken the world by storm and now you're in trouble, right? Because you didn't strike when the iron was hot. As Jeffrey Silza says, I want Swerve to be the champ all year long, but Will is over in a way that Swerve just isn't. And he's been here for 2 years.
You're wrong. You are absolutely wrong, Jeffrey Sills. You want to go listen to a March Madness game today? They're going to be playing Swerve When I Drive.
Swerve's house. That's true.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. This. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go to a Jacksonville Jags game. Guess who was shown on the Big Tron? Well, I don't know what they call it. Yeah. It was Swerve.
True.
That's what I'm saying to the, and Jeffrey Sills, I'm not trying to say, I'm only using you as an example here. So do not take this personal. But if you want to get out of the, I listen to Dave Meltzer wrestling fan, and you want to get in front of,
what if you do this?
A different crowd.
Let's do this.
Hold on.
Yeah.
He was the first wrestler ever to play at the Loud Festival. Ever. Yeah. Ever. Not Stone Cold, not The Rock.
Nope.
And I'm not saying like, but I'm saying, so.
Not Elias. Again,
but what I'm getting at is if you want to get away from, right, if you want to increase ratings, the way you do it is you go, hey, other categories of people, here's someone that you may be interested in, because the neck beards are going to go to the next thing.
So how about
every
this?
Time.
So how about this? We change for the time being. You do what you said. For a brief moment in time, we take Ospreay and get him tangled up in somebody else while we're still building this, like, he's the most charismatic fuck around.
Right. Yeah.
During that time, Swerve has to soon, quickly win the title. He's the champion. Mm-hmm. He burns through one, maybe two competitors, and now we get Will thing, and we trade it back and forth for a couple months.
Yeah.
And then they're able to kind of keep them both up there, and they're the main event stars of the show. Like, they may be the two top level main event dudes that everybody's trying to get to, but right now they're locked against each other. A little bit of that back and forth 50-50 booking that WWE used to do, right? Where we were like, oh, now it's yours, now it's mine. I mean, I think that would help in this situation, to be honest with you.
Oh, God, it just came to me. All right. Again, I still think Christian Cage is the pick because it would be great. Yeah. And I don't know the health status of this individual. I assume they re-signed with AEW. But if MJF wants to get in the face of Will Ospreay, you're telling me you ain't going to watch that shit? You ain't going to say that the guy that was been gone is saying that this is still my place, this is my show, and Will Ospreay is just saying bruv all the time? That's what, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, and again, stuff. I get it. Jeffrey Sill says, I hear you, Tom, but did you see that reaction yesterday from someone who... but who was that crowd, right? And again, I don't want to be the person crowd, that says, well, but no, what I'm saying is, and I don't want to be the look at the ratings guy, but if you're wanting to increase those, I don't work for the company, so I don't give a fuck, right? But it's still the same, right? If you want to elevate someone who looks different than Kenny Omega, Hangman Adam Page, Chris Jericho, John Moxley,
yeah.
That's the way you do it.
Dirty blonde headed white guy with curly hair is a little taken.
Because if I just line those guys up, right? If I just line those guys up to 10. For example, there's a guy here that works for the Kansas City Sports Network. His name is Tucker Franklin. He's a great follow on Twitter. I think on Threads too is where I see him as well. He goes, who wants to get drunk tonight and watch wrestling? Last night he said this. And I wrote back, dude, Edge and Christian are about to be in a street fight tonight on AEW. And he wrote back, I've actually never watched AEW. I'll give that a shot, because he knew of Edge and Christian, right?
Yeah.
Cool. What I'm saying, though, is if that guy sees Prince Nana and Swerve Strickland doing the shit, that guy looks different than, like you said, dirty blonde white dude who can jump high sometimes.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at. You line those guys up. You line John Moxley, Adam Page, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, and Will Ospreay all in a line. And you tell that guy that I'm just using it as an example, who's who? He ain't going to remember.
Yeah. So it's AEW's got Dirty Blonde with a beard, right? So we got the Ospreay, Omega, Hangman, Moxley. I remember when WWE, when we said it was all long black hair with a beard, right? It was Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Elias, right? They all look like a Pokemon evolution of each other. Yeah. Pause. I want to bring up also in that black hair with the goatee was Mustafa Ali. And I want to shout out Mustafa Ali. I watched about 5 minutes of Impact Wrestling. And I don't want to shout out Mustafa Ali. I want to shout out Chris Sabin. Chris Sabin and Mustafa Ali had a match. And Chris Sabin put Mustafa Ali in the Tree of Woe, put one foot on the second rope, and the other foot on Mustafa Ali's nuts, and like stood there like a goddamn superhero, and then started jumping on his nuts. And I was like, that is one of the funnest things I've ever seen in a corner spot in wrestling in a long time. So kudos to them. I then stopped watching and went back to work. But anyway. Back to the AEW.
That happens.
It was good stuff. All right.
So we get, Tim, before the main event, a women's tag team match here. We get cosplay Mariah May, champion Toni Storm, versus challengers Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. Quick match, not the longest one you're ever going to see. Back and forth that sees Thunder Rosa roll up Toni Storm to get the victory. What do you make of this tag match?
Maybe that's just positioning to be the next like challenger for Toni Storm. Perhaps maybe Thunder Rosa is going to be like, I pinned you, so I get a thing and we'll get a little mini feud. But I don't think we're ready to like Thunder Rosa's ready to be a champ again or anything like that. But I think it's a believable person to go up. So I think that's probably where we're leading. And the match was fine. We did see pointing out that this Mariah May thing may be more of the storyline that Toni Storm is focused on moving forward, right?
The post-match promo that she did, I think, exclusively on social media, where Mariah May is like, I am so sorry, I don't know what happened. And she goes, come to my bosom. And she just says, "You're okay, child. I will teach you better as we go forward. This was my mistake." And then she goes, "Thunder Rosa, you know, I'll punch you in the box," or something like that. And then she just goes, "I can't, I have no time for this," because she calls for her title and Luther misses the mark. And she's like, "God, I don't have time for this. Chin, tits, shoe, we're out of here." She just walks off. I love it.
She's the best.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So here's what I think, as kind of being positioned from how Mariah May talked on that Thunder Rosa beating Toni Storm. It feels like Mariah May, Deonna Purrazzo, you two keep each other busy. And then we're going to do a Thunder Rosa, Toni Storm match. I would make Thunder Rosa get Toni Storm out of her comfort zone and say, "No, we're going to do an extreme match. Like, we're going to have thumbtacks." And she's like, "Actresses have stunt doubles for that."
Yeah, right.
Mariah's like, "I can't, like, this is just you. Like, I can't do this." And then she's like, "Well, shit." And then make her wrestle that kind of match with Thunder Rosa.
Oh, no. If we get a quasi cinematic match, or like a lot of behind the scenes, like, you know, studio match, as it were, right? Like, you know, Backstreet Studio or whatever, where we can get some of those where she's like something, she's like, "Stunt double." And like Ryan May is like, "What?" And she's like, no, go in there. Ryan just like, "Fuck." And goes in there and gets thrown through a goddamn, you know what I mean? That could be fun.
Yeah, that could be fun. But I just want Thunder Rosa, because I will give the women's division, a little bit more credit than the men's division. There is more, in my opinion, distinct characters in the women's division than the men's division currently. And I would say Thunder Rosa needs to put her hand up as being like the hardcore queen, as it is, right? Like, she's known for that street fight beating Britt Baker in the St. Patrick's Day, whatever it was called, right?
Tom.
Have her take that role.
It's Willow.
Well, Willow is the god of this shit, okay? Willow's the god of this shit. I'm saying for the interim, Thunder Rosa needs Jeffrey with the Sills loud music and all that stuff.
Jeffrey Sills said, for Willow, instead of a pizza cutter, it's a cookie cutter. He's a little cookie cutter that she,
in a uniform form. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and it's like a cut.
And somebody's got, like, right on their ass, they've got a unicorn. Be the best.
Anna Jay. Yeah. Anna Jay's bleeding from her ass and she removes her hand and it's a unicorn.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. That is a great idea. All right. So yeah, we get that victory and it looks like that's where we're going. Then we get Swerve Strickland, who got a big pop. Jeffrey Sills, just kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time, but he did get a good pop.
I like the chain. Should keep the chain going.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
But he has an open challenge, and I thought, because he said, "I want a big challenge," my first guess was Big Bill, because it's in the fucking name. But it was the Butcher. That's fine.
He's
and
big dude.
Yeah, and basically this was just to say, hey, Swerve has a new submission now. Check this out. It's a arm scissor, which hurts. It does hurt, but like, fine. Then Swerve gets on the microphone and he's like, "Hey, motherfuckers, like, I'm still the best." Samoa Joe comes out. He's like, "Ah, you prick. I'm going to fight you, ain't I?" And Swerve's like, "Yeah, you are." And then before they could like agree to a match at Dynasty or whatever it may be, Don Callis comes out. And he's like, "Hey, asshole in the ring, you have the same record as Takeshita outside of the Don Callis family. So he wants to fight you." And then Swerve's like, "Yeah. Why? Why would you do that?"
Yeah, this is weird.
Because here's the logic missing in that, Don Callis, you smart man who's acting dumb in this moment. If Takeshita has the same record as Swerve, then why wouldn't Takeshita also challenge Samoa Joe? Wouldn't you want him to be your champion? Right?
Right.
If I had the opportunity, I'm looking at the champion and the number one contender. I'm not going, "Well, I got loser, number one contender." The champion. So, like, why did you challenge Swerve? It's just dumb.
Jeffrey Sills pointed out a fun thing. He says, "By the way, this was Swerve's first submission win and Hook's first win without a submission."
Hey.
Interesting.
Look at that role reversal. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here we go. Again, we missed that bit of logic, but we get that agreed to, I think, on next week's Dynamite. And then we get to the main event match. Tim, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is an I Quit match. Adam Copeland, your challenger, versus champion, and maybe the greatest TNT champion that I can think of. No offense to Brody Lee. That's a different kind of Christian Cage. And Christian, they had some Cage. Fun here. What'd you think? What did you think of this fun?
Fun. The one thing I would say is next time, let's make sure how the referee is going to sound when they're asking questions over the microphone during the match. That guy was annoying me all the time. He just sounded really weird, right? But good. I thought the ending was a bit anticlimactic, kind of was just kind of like, oh, okay, he's finally had enough, right? There wasn't like a major, like he asked him several times and then just kind of like hit him a little more, you know what I mean? Like,
it was he had Spike over his head and he was going to hit him in the head. And so he's like, no.
Yeah.
And I get it.
But like, he'd been hitting you with Spike fucking, you know what I mean? Like, I don't,
yeah. And the dick, come on.
Right. Yeah. I
would have changed this up a little bit. You want to know how I would have done it? If I had the pin, Tim, I would again prove Christian Cage's love for Nick Wayne over Luchasaurus. So I would have somehow, you do this, you know, you get it to this point where he's wrapped up, but Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne are not at this point, right? And you have Daniel Garcia, Matt Menard, and Adam Copeland do something to put Luchasaurus in peril, and they're like, we're gonna fucking hit him with this if you don't say it. And he's like, I can't, I don't quit. And so then they do it to Luchasaurus, he rolls out, right? Then fight. Then we do it again to where Nick Wayne is in a similar position. Adam Copeland's like,
and he has,
I'm not
no,
gonna ask
he's
him.
Like, no, I quit. Like yeah. No questions that they didn't even have to ask. They didn't have to threaten him. He's like, no, well, don't. Yeah.
But even more so, I would have Adam Copeland like, well, I'm not going to ask him because I know he'll say no. So I'm just going to go ahead and do this. And then then Christian Cage just, no. And
yeah, that's like, what I mean. Like, don't even have to ask. Yeah, he's like begging. Right. Please don't take me. I quit. Please take me. Yeah. Hit me. Yeah. And you're like, what?
And then that's the way you end the match. Because if you're not going to do my idea of Christian Cage and Will Ospreay, whatevs, then this is where you need to start the dissension with Luchasaurus and Christian
the
Cage.
The extra touch is that he's even like, he's like, not my boy, I love him. Right? Like, not my boy. And then Luchasaurus is like, bitch.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could even have him saying that like as he like comforts him, and Luchasaurus is coming back from like a chair.
He's
shot,
like, I'll forever protect you. I love you so much. Like petting his head after it's over, you know? Like,
well, and that's how you would, coddling again, him. We went into a rampage, so I get it. But like, that's how I would have ended the Dynamite episode, is Luchasaurus giving the side eye as he's hurt, looking at Christian Cage and Nick Wayne. One other note, and again, I don't want to be a stickler, but one thing that took me out of the cool hockey fight, which was, that was fun. That was a fun, cool hockey fight.
Yeah.
This camera guy, don't show me Christian Cage putting on the Bruins jersey. Move away from that, you dumb fuck. Like, come on.
Yeah, why would Christian do that? Yeah.
Why would he just like, just have him, oh man, it's on, right? Let my imagination say that Adam Copeland forced that on him, right? Like,
yeah.
Just little details, man. Come on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that was a fun little spot too, because that was great for, you know, it's Canada. Those guys love the hockey, right? Yeah. Well, at first I was like, I was wondering why. I was like, why is Adam taking a fucking Boston, you know what I mean? Like, jersey, that's weird. And then he puts it on Christian. I'm like, oh, okay, now I get it. And then I didn't even know the other jersey was available, right? So those guys were obviously plants, but like,
but still,
you know what I mean? But good thinking, good stuff.
Yeah, I thought the hockey fight was great, except for, again, you just got to, execution, guys. If we want to be number one, that shit matters. But yeah, so we end with Adam Copeland as your new TNT champ. So I will say this before we go into our Rampage recap, because we do go into Rampage immediately after this. What are your expectations of Adam Copeland, TNT champ?
I think Adam Copeland's TNT champ can benefit somebody eventually. My problem is how long, because I think it's largely going to be dependent on who is wrestling Adam Copeland each time, right? Why, like, there's nothing, there's no story for me to follow along now that Adam Copeland is champion, right? So, like, the story becomes somebody trying to get the championship from him, right? And there's nothing built into Adam Copeland as it stands right now where I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope he stays the champion forever or whatever, right? Like, or any reason for me to care that he is. So, I'm going to be more interested in the storyline being told from under, right? Who's going after it, and that's not spelling well for an Adam Copeland long reign, right? Because, if he beats down that a couple times, well, then who, you know what I mean? Like, I guess, I don't know, what story could we tell that would make him seem unbeatable, right? He's not physically beating anybody over the top anymore, right? Like, he's, maybe his veteran cunningness somehow is keeping him elevated. I don't know what we tell here.
So, I think one thing that's vital for next week and then moving forward is Christian and Adam Copeland not on the same screen for a while, right? Christian's
now,
over
right?
here, Adam Copeland's over there. You can't have them still being kind of connected, right?
Yeah, this is done. This was the third one anyway, right? It's done. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I would have... So the story I thought of just looking at the visual last night as I kind of saw the confetti and stuff is Daniel Garcia lost to him, but Daniel Garcia doesn't think necessarily that he really lost to him. So I would do something to the effect of the Cope Open round two, I'm the TNT champion, right? I wouldn't have Garcia do it first, right? But Copeland does one with Powerhouse Hobbs. He beats Powerhouse Hobbs. He does Vikingo. Another one with Vikingo. He beats Vikingo. He does a third one with Kyle Fletcher. He beats Kyle Fletcher, right? And then Daniel Garcia walks up and he's like, I got it. And you have Adam Copeland like, oh, for real? Like, I thought we were cool, but now that I'm champ, now you want to fight me. And this is where I think he's smart enough, because this is where I get a little tired of Mercedes Moné and CM Punk of thinking because you're popular, that just means you should be babyface. Okada gets it. Okada came in and was like, I have a character. Check it out. I'm a rich prick. Fuck you, Americans. And you're like, well, there's something, right? This is where I would hope Adam Copeland would be like, oh, so these young pups think they can fucking get one on me. Oh, okay. So you want to see these old tricks? And he flips. Because again, that's why you can't have Adam Copeland and Christian, because then they just come right back to each other. This is where you would take the title reign and then flip them heel into it. And then fuck you, Daniel
Garcia.
That
leads to down the road when, like I said, where eventually Christian needs to bring in Uncle Adam to help discipline somebody.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Down the road, that is where it comes. But I think he's smart enough. This is when you turn him. And then I would have, through a course of four title defenses, and then this one, have Daniel Garcia become your TNT champ and then hope that that can elevate him
to
something else.
I think it honestly is easier and more able to buy in when we have a heel champion, right? It's easier for people to buy in on the chase of the champion when they're going for, you know, when it's a face going for a title. The thing is, you know, the face has to win sometimes, right? So what do we do with that? Because that becomes kind of boring. So I think I love a good, you know, heel turn whilst being a champion, right? For that reason, because it adds life to a champion, I think. Now, it's a trope if we do that every time, right? So that sucks. I mean, now you can tell that power corrupts, right? So it's kind of like isn't the Lord of the Rings based around that? Like when somebody gets that thing, they start like it, they realize like, oh, I have to fucking kill people to keep this thing, right? Like at all costs kind of a thing. Like you were saying with the Adam Cole group, right? It's because of the perks and I will be damned, right? My family's got to eat and I get more money when I'm holding this fucking title. And I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like your feelings about it don't matter. So I think we can get there, but I think for a little bit, he's got to play the like cope open, like everybody loves me. And then like you said, somebody's got to get the better of him and be like, bitch, I'm doing this for you. Right. Like now I'm not anymore. Right. And now it's right. Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. The logic behind it, cause you want it to make sense, is that it's younger guys challenging Adam Copeland. And that is what he's going like.
That's what he gets upset. Oh,
see, yeah. So like, you guys don't actually respect me. You think I'm on my last leg. Well, fuck you. That's where he gets the,
Yeah, and in those guys' defense, they're like, you had an open challenge. I thought this is what, like, you wanted to, like, help us get a spotlight. And be like, you wanted to steal the spotlight is what you wanted. Yeah, yeah, right.
Another, you know, if Daniel Garcia, let's just say Daniel Garcia doesn't become the champion out of this. Let's say Matt Menard turns on him, right? Daniel Garcia is going to become the TNT champion. One, two, Matt Menard pulls the ref. Matt Menard
gives him a little taste. Like,
what? Yep, gives him a little taste. And then you do something where, right, that, you know? You know who would be a good second option there? A babyface Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks Adam Copeland on Collision? Come on. Come on.
Yes. Smooth, suave. I'm actually young, hip, and cool. You used to think you were, right? Now you're gray-haired on a motorcycle smelling like leather and fucking, you know what I mean? Ben Gay. It's time to get the fuck out of here.
And they kind of had that one moment. Remember when they were going on promos where Bryan Danielson was in the ring, Adam Copeland was in the ring, and Ricky Starks was trying to talk to Danielson, but Copeland kept interrupting him, and he's like, you got no style. And then Copeland's like, your style was stolen from The Rock and you look cheap, you know? So they already have a little something where they can go back and forth. I would think that would be fun.
Yeah, right. I would love to see that. I absolutely love to see it.
So we move into Rampage, and Tim, this is where I was going to tell you my hot take. I said I had a hot take before this, and here it is now. 3 hours, even if it's AEW,
it's too much
of televised wrestling. Fucking is a chore. It is. By the middle of this, I was just like, I want to go do, but like, I'm interested, right? It's like, I don't want to turn it because I don't like it. It's just, you know, I read for an hour. I don't read for three. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, because eventually I'm like, I want to do something else, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was hitting me, especially at Raw, like, and even with AEW, because you do get, like, you get a Rampage or a Collision or something. Like, going to it live is worse because you got to get there on the front end and stay for some of the back end. And I'm like, man, it's too much sometimes. It is too much when, like, we got shit to do these days, you know? Like, yeah, it can be a lot.
So they kick off Rampage with Adam Copeland still celebrating the victory, trying to get those viewers that were Dynamite to stay, right? But because they're cleaning up the ring, then we go to a promo from the Bullet Club Gold. And they're like, hey, Darby isn't climbing Mount Everest because we broke his foot. We just saved a life. Fuck that guy.
That sucks for Darby. Really, what a shitty deal.
I mean, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit that kind of sucked here is, so then the Guns are like, hey, Acclaimed, how did you fucking not get that we were going to do this? And Dad, really, you thought we weren't going to kick you in the face, you idiot, right? But then Jay White mentions the Darby Allin thing, like, hey, he saved a life. But he painted Sting's back gold. And that's where it's like, if you were going to have Darby keep the bat, well, now it's kind of like, well, all of a sudden it's magical and now it's back to black. Like, get the fuck out of here, right? So, like, you can't. That kind of ruined it. Because I was hoping that could be like a lineage thing that Darby, in 1 year, because you'll probably retire by then, can pass on to the next guy, to Nick Wayne. It's like Nick Wayne has the bat, you know, and you could do this Sting to Darby to Nick Wayne kind of, anyhow. But that, now it's cold and that kind of sucks. But what did you think about the opening promo from the Gangbang Gang?
The Gangbang Gang, I see the abilities in like Jay White and Juice Robinson, right, who's not around at the moment. But for whatever reason, this isn't – this is all forgettable and just not enough for me, right? Like, they just feel like some jackasses, if you will, right? They kind of feel like that, like the Jackass crew, if you will, without the fun antics, right? It's just odd.
It kind of – it's not this bad. It's not this bad. It has like Jeff Jarrett NWO feel. Remember when they tried to have like Bret Hart and Jeff Jarrett and Kevin Nash in the NWO again? It kind of has that vibe to me. Where again, Bret Hart is a very, very good wrestler. So is Jay White,
that
right?
But like,
now again, I'm not saying it's that bad, right? It's not that bad. But as far as,
well, that's because it had Jeff Jarrett. So this therefore can't be that bad, right?
Yeah, but cannot. But as far as forgettable, Like, I can't think of anything that group did, but I knew it existed. Kind of how this feels. So,
yeah.
What doesn't help their case is right after this, the Acclaim come out for a chat, and they don't rap. They're just cutting a promo. And, Tim, I don't know how you feel, but this showed me, at least, the major difference between one guy's promo abilities and the other guy that has to rap.
Yes.
Because Max Caster seemed a little lost out there just talking.
He ain't it. Yeah. No, Anthony Bowen, I think, is a more complete, like, if the two had to go on their own right now, Anthony Bowen is more ready for that, I think, than Max Caster. And honestly, the raps are wearing thin on me too. I don't think he's coming with as good, you know what I mean? I mean, like, you know, there's some fine jokes in there, but I'm just kind of like, eh, you know what I mean?
Watches. Do you follow him on Instagram?
I'm rarely on the Instagram. Yeah. I'm just not on there.
Love Instagram. Follow him on Instagram. He does a weekly rap there. They're always pretty good. I think, here's my hot take. I think Max Caster is probably an asshole in real life, and I think it's hard for him to be a babyface. I think that's why this sucks, is because Anthony Bowens can be a good guy because he's probably a good guy.
Same thing. We could still all like it and chant along if we'd let them do some actual stuff. Like, everything they've done so far is like, goofy, we're scissoring. Like, and that worked for a while we all thought it was fun and happy. But like I said, it's worn thin, right? Like, I tried to warn of this several months ago. Like, this is going to get old quicker than you guys realize, right? Like, people are going to get tired of doing this if they don't do something, right? They're not coming up with a new catchphrase. They're not coming up with a new gimmick, like a new thing, right? And so we got to do something with them, right? Like, they've got to fucking get a different edge, or they've got to go after something or somebody to make us give a shit. This thing with the, where they were friends, now they're not, well, they're friends, but like, I guess maybe all these guys like each other and hang out a lot and they want to work together, but I don't know, man. This is all boring stuff to me, really, honestly.
Well,
unfortunately,
to your,
'cause I like a lot of the guys involved. It's just boring.
And to your point about trying to find something new, you know, let's all be honest with ourselves here. Wrestling is way faster than it's ever been in the 80s, 90s, and even in the Attitude Era, right? We're doing everything. And then social media, everyone has an opinion, which changes your mind super quick. And the next thing. If you think about it, their apex, as far as the Acclaim, was at All Out 2022, which was the night CM Punk got into a fight with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. That's how long it's been. That feels like a different time, right?
And nothing's changed about them, is my point.
Yeah.
They're still doing the same jokes, still doing the same gimmick, same everything. Yep, right.
Yeah.
So, Theo P wants to know what's going to be the new hashtag tweet the table for WrestleMania. Because, again, we're not really watching. Oh, I mean, you're probably watching WrestleMania. I don't know. I'm not going to watch it. But Theo says, you know, we used to do Tweet the Table. You use hashtag Tweet the Table. We read on the show. We're really not even on the Twitter all that much either. We're on the threads at @all_elite_wrap-up. And we don't necessarily have a designated hashtag, I guess.
Not that I'm aware of.
Just add us. Just add us, Theo, on the threads.
We'll figure it out. How about that? Or give us a suggestion. What do you think? Huh? On threads. Again, I logged out of Twitter. As I told you, Tucker Franklin is a good follow on Twitter. I see that because I follow him on Instagram and he posts his tweets on Instagram. And then I'll go on Instagram and be like, hey, AEW. And then, you know, so I'm really not on Instagram or excuse me, on Twitter as it is.
I know. I feel like we're letting Theo down. Everything he used to know and love from the old Spanish announce table has changed.
Hey, but look, you know? We're doing what we ask the Acclaim to do. We're moving to something new and different.
Right. It's true. No. That's true.
So, yep. After they cut their promo on the Bullet Club, what happens next? Oh, there's a tag team tournament wild card match. Orange Cassidy, Trent Beretta, the best friends versus Fletcher and Hobbs. And Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta win.
So, coupled with there's too many titles in the mid card and the men's singles division, right? And they're taking up a lot of TV time with that stuff. That's helped push some of this down. And also just tag teams. I don't know, man, I'm surprised we had enough to do a tournament. I forgot the tag teams were, you know, I know we just had Sting's retirement, but I forgot the tag team titles were vacant and we were having a tournament for it. Well, did we mention it on Dynamite much? Like, did we? Yes. Like, I mean, I think they said because
on Collision
as like a match coming up, but like, yeah.
Well, because on Collision, quick Collision recap: the House of Black lost to the Infantry, and now the Infantry is going to take on FTR. Which, if you recall,
that's true. I remember
two weeks ago on Collision, FTR and the Infantry kind of had a "What's up, motherfucker? Who's the big dog in the yard?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's just it's odd though that like but you know the AEW, you would think the World Tag Team Titles are one of your major titles, right? But I guess in this day and age, it just isn't, right? I don't know.
Well, look, you got the heavy hitters who haven't really started yet. You have FTR, you have the Young Bucks, and to a lesser extent, you got Big Bill and Ricky Starks. So we have
those
really
matches are coming.
Yeah. And the finals, the finale will take place at Dynasty.
I guess, now, and I guess it's just, I guess I'm thinking from my perspective, I would book that more in like a, holy shit, we have a vacant title right now. Here's what we're like, you know, I mean, all hands on deck, watch what we do about this. This is crazy, right? But it just seems like it's background material at this point.
I would say the one thing that's interesting is if you go back to the pay-per-view Revolution, FTR, who's in this tournament, lost to the Blackpool Combat Club, who is not in the tag team tournament. What?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that happen? But anyhow, and again, one thing with Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta that's a little bit difficult for them is Chuck is hurt, right? So the best friends in its traditional form can't really be. Kyle Fletcher, hot take? Another hot take? I don't give a shit about this guy. I really don't. I watched him in GCW. We watched him the Aussie Open at the GCW show. Didn't care about him then. I get that he had that match with Will Ospreay. I knew he was going to lose, so I didn't give a shit about him there. I just think he's fine. And again, I'm not saying he's bad. He is not bad. I'm just saying he is right down the middle. You know what I mean? He is a white picket fence. They're all good, but you don't really want one, do you? You know? So,
yeah, I mean,
Hobbs is better than this.
He feels like, all right, we've discussed this. Vanilla ice cream can be good. You get a little vanilla ice cream cone, it's good. But he feels like a 5-gallon tub of vanilla ice cream that you're given one serving to try to eat it all in, right? And it's like, this is too much. Too much plainness, right?
Yep. 1,000,000% agree. And Powerhouse Hobbs, he's too fucking cool to, like, Don Callis is great, and Don Callis can talk for you, and so I like that. I'm not saying that that's a bad idea in the slightest.
Ever.
But get Takeshita, maybe just make it Takeshita and Powerhouse Hobbs, but, like, Fletcher and Ospreay and all this, it's excess. I don't like it. Just,
yeah, I agree.
Powerhouse Hobbs. Mink coats and body slams. That's all the fuck you need with Powerhouse Hobbs. I'll tell you a cool tag team. If you want to do it next summer, that would be cool. Powerhouse Hobbs and Swerve.
Tell me that's
not the coolest fucking
thing. Body slams and Timberlands. That's what we need, right? That's the shirt right there. Body slams and Timberlands.
Yeah.
Come on. If I can say that as white as possible to try to fit the rhyming scheme, but you know what I mean?
Right, wouldn't that be the coolest tag team in the world if it was Swerve and Powerhouse Hobbs? No. Prince Nana can still do his thing, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to beat them?
Nobody.
Maybe the Blackpool Combat Club.
Nobody.
That's it, yeah.
Nobody. Theo P. has a great idea, Tom. He says, now that you're on Threads, now's a good time to follow the Young Bucks and see if they will block you there.
Yeah, maybe. Are they on Threads?
They might.
I bet you
they might.
Yeah. Nah, they're probably on Truth Social.
Oh, are they that? They're not that. Well, I guess, aren't they like Mormons from Utah? Maybe they are. They are like that. I don't know. We'll see.
They're a little, yeah. Hold on. I don't even see them. I don't see the motherfuckers on there. I see Young
they
Buck.
They might not be on the Threads.
Remember Young Buck? 50 Cent, Young Buck, G-Unit?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, Young Buck. Right.
Now him.
That's him? Like him, Young Buck. All right, nice.
Yeah.
Gee, you bet.
Man, that's fun.
Yes.
All right, let's get back to the show here. So after Orange Cassidy and Trent win, we get Shibata. He wins. And then we get Adam Copeland getting drunk backstage because that's fun. They're all standing in a line like it's a Last Supper. Fucking what the fuck was that?
That's how I always drink with my buddies. Yeah, in a circle. Right? Yeah, not leaned up against a table. That's how you do that. Like, lean them up against a bar table or something and let me look at it from the other side or something, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, just, that's weird. Hey, friend. Oh, me too.
Like, it's that opening scene from Dazed and Confused where, like, they're all leaning against the wall. Like, that's why I like them high school girls.
Yeah, exactly. And then we get a match that was way too fucking long. This was where I really felt it. And this is not a fault of the two guys, but we could have shortened this and got something else. But Takeshita versus Rocky Romero. No one thinks Rocky Romero is winning this match. And I think I have a timestamp here. Hold on. 8 minutes, 56 seconds. No one thought that was going to happen for 8 minutes and 54 seconds.
Yeah.
So, like, it doesn't need to be that, you know? Takeshita wins. And
this is another one where, like, I like to point out, this is not to necessarily, like, hate on Rocky Romero or Takeshita, right? But this is what I talk about when I talk about, like, the internet wrestling fans that love this, like, hold the hand wrestling, like we talk about, right? Or the flips and shit. Every one of these guys is supposedly so amazing and the best and gives a 5-star match, right? So how is it, like, you're telling me, like, you're chronicling in times one of the greatest matches was, like, Rocky Romero versus anybody, fill in the blank, and then now comes, you know, Takeshita, and, oh, my God, he's also, like, I can't watch these things without thinking, like, this is just repetitive stuff. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing here, right? There's no story here. There's no nothing here.
Well, talking about repetitive, you know, the one thing that MJF, to his credit, was starting to do was getting over basic things again.
Yes, where,
like, the double clothesline and stuff. Tim, I will challenge you next Dynamite to get a notepad and just put a little tally every time you see it. Mm-hmm. Tally the next time you see a body slam, just a fucking normal boom, or a DDT, doom.
Yeah, right.
And not a tornado, not a fucking flipsy 500. I'm talking about just, you don't see. So
yeah,
that's where I would go against the grain and say, like, hey, everyone does a suicide dive, which is fucking boring, except if you're Darby Allin. Dude, go back to the cool shit. You know what I mean? Or
yeah,
in my opinion,
I guess
cool
I just
shit.
Like, and I know we're supposed to suspend our disbelief, right? But while suspending my disbelief, I'm still trying to pretend that I'm in a real world. So when you're doing things that, judging in a real world, make me go, okay, but you just made yourself have, like, less force and momentum. So, like, all that extra work you did actually provided less of a blow to your opponent. So why would you opt to do that? In no way should I think you're the greatest wrestler in the world. I think you're an inefficient, dumb one, right? Like, that ain't. And so that's where I think it's lost on me that, like, I can't suspend my disbelief that much. Like, I'm not gonna. Like, that's not real. I guess, I don't know. And I know it's not real, but, like, it's positioned as it's a real thing, right? Like, it's like, this is a real thing, right? Like, I don't know.
It's weird. Mm-hmm. No, I get what you. All right, let's get to the main event. It's a street fight. Okay, we got Stokely
Street
Hathaway.
Fight. Is Willow there?
Willow! We got Stokely Hathaway on the headset. He's talking.
Big Stoke! Cut it off for me. Big Stoke!
There we go.
Yeah, that's it.
And we get some fun. Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander was the MVP of this match, I felt. We got her getting power bombed into thumbtacks. They put thumbtacks in her mouth and kicked the thumbtacks out. She goes a power bomb on the chairs. Willow Nightingale, to her credit, again, the queen of this shit, fucking does a power bomb or a suplex through some tables with Sky Blue. So we get a lot of living done at the end of this main event. But Julia Hart and Sky Blue, if my notes are correct, end up winning this.
Yeah.
So gorgeous. It's Julia Hart makes Chris Statlander tap out to her, I guess it's called the Heartless or something. What do you think about that?
I think it's weird.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing because of this. You can't have Julia Hart, the big spooky lady, lose to everyone, right? Eventually, we have to see her win against someone that we know. You know what I mean? She can't just have squash matches and be like, well, I guess she's the shit. Like, to beat Statlander says something still. And so I will give that, like, we need them to win.
Yeah, but you would more like cheating to win, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's the something here to get it, not just a straight up, well, we beat you in a street fight. Like, well, then
yeah,
what the fuck, right?
Especially when you've not positioned Julia Hart as like a brawler that's knocking people out and taking names.
Yeah, because if she uses the spooky stuff to win, okay, well, then that's something too, right? Like, okay, well, spooky stuff got me.
Smoke happened. Bullshit. Lights went out. Yeah. Somebody appeared out of nowhere and kicked me in the ovaries.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Here was the dumbest thing. Not dumbest thing. That's too harsh. Here was the thing that I thought was missed.
Listen to you being
we
nice.
Kicked the show off. Well, we kicked the show off with Mercedes Moné.
Yeah.
She is obviously tied to Willow, Julia, Sky Blue, and Statlander. So she just said, I got to get to the next town. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't make an appearance. She doesn't do anything.
On the private plane. Nope. She's out. But like, signing autographs.
I don't know. She could have faked
she's
help.
She's the CEO. She has
Willow.
CEO things to do. Isn't that what a CEO does? When she's supposed to have their back? She failing her duties?
Well, it's a street fight. Well, it's a street fight, so no one else. And again, that's where cheating could have helped. You could have had Julia Hart have Brody King walk out, right, and help the girls. And Mercedes Moné gives them a low blow. And it was like, I'm the CEO. I help out.
Yeah.
And then here's where you have Willow knock into Mercedes Moné, and Mercedes is like, how the fuck are you always so goddamn clumsy around me? And now we have some, like, you hurt me in a match, and then when I come to help you, then you fuck me up. And then earlier in the night, I saw that you had a chair going to hit me in the back, and there you go, right? But we just, again, they just lost. They just lost.
Just lost. Yep. To just two small girls, right? Which is weird, right?
Well, I understand, you know, that a small Rey Mysterio, like, was champion.
Yeah, but again, like, we had spent some time building up that he could beat bigger folks, right? Like, they still had to tell that story, right? Again, there's still, and it was through certain methods and ways, right? It wasn't like he's lining up in a street fight against somebody three times his size and just beating them that way, right?
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Didn't come till later, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, not wanting us to, like, lean on WWE tropes. However, I will say with this finish, it kind of, because one other thing, if you just want to continue this just a little bit longer, and I know that this is a street fight, so it's not a traditional match, but, like, so Mercedes Moné, I guess her first match is probably going to be against Willow. Well, Julia Hart can beat her. Or Sky Blue can beat her, apparently.
Right.
You know, like, so
it's a weird thing to me too that we went with Willow being the first for.
Well, because she got hurt and it was supposed to be the thing. So
I
like that.
But like, it's the same thing like you're saying though. It Willow's on a hot streak, and you're bringing in Mercedes to be like the top babyface. Now you've got this swerve Will Ospreay issue, right? Like, we both, you know, love him, quote unquote, right? The fans love Mercedes, but now we also love Willow. But now what are we going to do about it?
I bet you a quarter, Tim, and I'll give it to you if I lose
a quarter.
At the pay-per-view. Yeah, yep. I'll bet you a quarter that at Dynasty, Mercedes Moné will be the heel in the match. I think this stuff is fun, but just like you said, she's going to sell merchandise, heel or babyface, just like Okada. Okada is also selling, you know, a ton of shit. And so I think she makes Willow
cry. She
does
the dirty. All right.
Because one of her most infamous moments in her wrestling career was making that little girl cry at NXT, right? She can do it to Willow.
Does that involve being foiled by Stokely and or Chris Statlander? Because now if you tell me Stokely Hathaway is speaking for Mercedes Moné sometimes, this could be a lot better.
Give me that.
This could be a lot better.
Mm-hmm. And there you go. A CEO doesn't do interviews. Stokely will do it on her behalf. She'll stand
from the
there
office of the CEO. I have a message.
You dirty bitch. I mean?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. You can always remember. Remember, we are a family. People are like, ooh, right? Yeah. Excuse me. I have a message from the office of the CEO. Right? And everybody's just already booing. Oh,
and Stokely
love it.
Throwing the Willow and Statlander under the bus makes complete sense because he was in the firm, if we remember that. You know what I mean? Like, he's about power and getting to that next level. Next level CEO, apparently. So yeah.
Oh my God, that would be great. If he's the executive assistant. He could be the CEO's executive assistant. Oh, such good stuff.
But then you can get Mercedes Moné focused more in on wrestling. She's a wrestler, right?
Well, and this is what I mean. Always, backstage where she's giving orders, we can dictate that a little. And it's not just,
And she can always grab the mic if like someone's getting the best of Stokely and be like, hey, bitch, tonight it's me and you in the main event. Oh, right. Like she can't
keep her to one, need to be silent. Sentences.
Yeah. Like Swerve with Prince Nana. Right before Swerve went babyface, and he was obviously doing promos, but it was mainly Prince Nana kind of speaking for Swerve. So kind of steal that blueprint a little bit, because obviously you steal fucking match blueprints all the time. So maybe do that and see how that works out for you.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, man, I like the idea of Stokely maybe spearheading this heel Mercedes Moné. Because look, Stokely makes everything better. I haven't seen him involved in something where I thought, man, we could get rid of him.
Never.
Mm-mm.
And I also have a soft spot for Stokely Hathaway because he told Anthony for me and Emily to have a great wedding, and he hopes the best for our success. So I always love that about him.
That's very fun. That is nice. Yeah, nice guy. Nice guy. Yeah.
And I mean, come
Big
on.
Stoke.
You raggedy bitch. And then he fights Hook. Remember when he fought Hook and just got his ass kicked?
Yeah.
Man, he's the best. Yeah. He's the best.
Yeah. I love him. All right. So was that it? That was the end, right? Of Rampage then? Yeah. 3 hours is too much. Theo says, I give Mercedes Moné 1 year before she storms off. That's the thing I'm wondering if we're going to get more of a CM Punk type situation with this. Not necessarily a fighting thing, but a disgruntled, like, this isn't what I thought was going to happen here. I'm out.
Well,
this place sucks.
The money feels like it's in Britt Baker, Mercedes Moné. Whenever that happens, we're hitting the bank with all the dough. Because I saw from some account that Dave Meltzer said, don't you love it that someone just quotes that motherfucker as if that's news? Anyhow, but his quote was, he got word from a source that women are upset with the money Mercedes Moné is making because, quote, some women have been here since day one and have bled and deserve the recognition that Mercedes gets when she walks in on day one. Well, Tim, who's been with AEW since day one and has also bled, is Britt Baker.
DMD, right?
And when that report came out, or, you know, that whatever you want to call it came out on social media, Britt Baker posted to her Instagram stories the introductory news conference of AEW when she was like, I'm the first woman to sign. Like, she's just posting all these like day one photos, and it's like,
And you have to do, because even then you can spin, like, Sasha then, or Mercedes has to be the heel at that point too, because then you spin the DMD is the dentist. This is blue collar. This is working, right? And it's a CEO and she's money and private jets and screw all that, right? Yeah.
I had to put myself through dentist. Like, I got to be a wrestler because I became
I work
a
with
dentist.
My hands. Yeah. I fix your teeth, right? For you, right? For you. So you can smile in pictures and look pretty. CEO is taking money from you, right? Off of your labor, off of your work. Just
throwing that in. I had to be I had to work as a dentist to get to this point as a wrestler. You just came in because you're Snoop Dogg's niece or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm not a CEO of a dental company. I'm just the dentist, right? Like two employees and I pay them fairly, right? Like that kind of shit. Get into it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the money.
All right, well. Love it, man. Love it. AW, it was fun this week, despite the three-hour choreness of it. I mean, Rampage, if you took that away separately and just watched the Dynamite, I think Dynamite was good, and I think Rampage stood alone on its own. We have a few issues with some of how they spun some stories, but that's not just for us to decide. That is for all of you to decide, so we urge you to, like Jeffrey Sills did, like the OP did here, what was the other guy's name who was here for the first time? David Mage, right? Get in on the chat. We do this precisely on the dot at 7:15 on Thursdays each and every week. Follow AllElitewrapUp.com for the updates. If you sign up there free, you'll get an email letting you know when we're going live. But you can also get us on the threads, and we'll talk about whatever you want now, next week. Let us know what you think of how everything's going right now. And until then, Tommy, anything else before we just get out of here and tell these people to leave us alone?
No, I really don't. Can't wait till next week.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, then, leave us alone.